forgiveness. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
You guys, this is a topic that I love to talk about. I learned about the church years ago, and I began to fall in love with what Scripture teaches about the people of God. Early on, I kind of had this idea that the church was just this small group of people here in the middle of nowhere, and this was it, this was all. But when I began to understand Scripture, I began to see that God's universal church, His bride worldwide, that's the God of Scripture. The God of Scripture is the one who has people from every kindred, every nation, every tongue, all around this world. And it's not just spanning space of the earth itself, but time itself too. And that's one of my favorite verses where Jake's always picking on me about Hebrews chapter 12. And Lord willing, we're going to hit that just a little bit tonight. But it's the idea of church. And I think the way John Bunyan brings this into this chapter about this palace beautiful, it's fitting into this narrative of the church, okay? So we're going to look at a little bit of that. I want us to read our verses to begin with, Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. Jesus speaking to Peter, and he says, "And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And of course, some verses out of Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 11, he says, "Therefore remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles, prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit." You guys, that is some very wonderful verses when you think about this is what God is doing with the redeemed. It's not a vain act. It's not a careless intent by God that he just takes and draws a bunch of people and just lets them sit there. It's actually a spiritual dwelling place for God. And I am one that I often get discouraged when I see people who take or think so little of the church. I don't think we understand verses like that in Ephesians and the value of that. We miss out on. I think John Bunyan does a good job of this, and I'm going to run out of time real quick if I get started on those. But if you haven't realized, that's all what this section is about. It's what Bunyan thought about the church as a whole, and how does it help us? How does it benefit us? What goes on in the palace beautiful that he speaks of? This section is filled with questions and answers too. And I want you to think about that. There are many, and we're going to look at some of them in this section. We will not have time to explore all of them, but we're going to look at some of them, the questions that are asked. And you guys, I want you to think that, you know, church, as you gather together with the people of God, it's not a place where you come and not have any interaction. Or a place where you come and sit and you listen to a lecture and you leave and think, there was no change in me. It's a place where you fellowship together, where you have relationships. And sometimes, you guys, those relationships can be kind of itchy, okay? They can be hard. But if we come together as the people of God and we neglect to challenge each other in our Christian walk, what's the point? Why are we coming? We're just going to come and hear some word and just see what happens. No, we come in and we hear the word, yes, but then we test that. We pressure each other in areas. And I think if you read this section of the book, you will see where prudence and piety and charity are asking Christians some very difficult questions, but they were challenging him. And I'm wondering if that wasn't John Bunyan's intent or his understanding of a church being a place to be challenged. You got to have something to cause a little friction, strengthens things. And that's what needs to happen in the house of God. Too often, you guys, people come in and there's a little friction, and the first thing they do is say, I'm going off where there's less friction. Sometimes that friction is the very thing God uses in our relationships to cause us to become more aware of our own sin. Or that God would put us in a place that we could minister to somebody in those needs. First thing, there on, I think it's on page 47, where he talks about the two lions. Now remember, the two characters, Mistrust and Timorous, were frightened away. Brother Jake mentioned them last week. They were frightened away by the lions. This would have happened to Pilgrim if Porter had not called out to him. Derek Thomas addresses the lions as representing the threat of the state and the Church of England that Bunyan was experiencing that time. If you knew the history, John Bunyan was a Baptist, and being a Baptist was not a good thing. The state was against him, the Church of England was against him, and Derek Thomas seems to think these might have represented the state and the Church of England as trying to keep people away from the church, but especially keeping John Bunyan away from the church and other ministers, by the way. But let's get into this in the reading. It says, then I saw that he went on, trembling for fear of the lions, but taking good heed to the... Now, this is John Bunyan talking about the dream, and he dreamed. And he says, then I saw that he went on, trembling for fear of the lions, but taking good heed to the directions of the porter. He heard them roar, but they did not harm him. Then he clapped his hands and went on till he came and stood before the gate where the porter was. Then said Christian to the porter, sir, what house is this? And may I lodge here tonight? The porter answered, this house was built by the Lord of the hill, and he built it for the relief and security of pilgrims. Do you not see it, Rob? He's talking about the church. He's talking about the place where God's people will gather together. And the porter also asked whence he was and whether he was going. Christian answered, I am come from the city of destruction and am going to Mount Zion. But because the sun is now set, I desire, if I may, to lodge here tonight. The porter says, what is your name? And I love the way he responds with this honesty, you guys. My name is now Christian, but my name at the first was Graceless. Do we forget that as a child of God, that at one time we were without God, without Christ in the world? We had no grace. We had no grace. We had no worthiness, nothing to offer him, but yet he brings us into his household. He invites us into his household. Pilgrim or Christian goes on, I came of the race of Japheth, whom God will persuade to dwell in the tents of Shem. He was saying in that statement that I am expecting a blessing from God, being brought to the people of God. The presence of opposition, you guys, to the church comes from many different directions. The world's against the church. Ages old, from the book of Acts on, you guys, there was always persecution on the people of God. There's always things trying to distract us from worshiping and serving as we ought to in the house of God. As I said early on from the book of Acts, we see that issue stand out. We see that when churches began to get established, there was persecution against those people in those areas. Paul, part of his writing was just simply to encourage those who were serving the Lord to continue serving in the midst of that persecution. So opposition's out there. Whether these lions to John Bunyan represented just England and the state at the time, or even more, which I think he intended it, the allegory to have a little bit more meaning there, that opposition is real. There's opposition against the individual believers. Remember our verse from Matthew 16, 18? He talks about Peter being the rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Well, there's opposition against the individual believer. Listen to these verses from 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. It says, "Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion." You see that analogy there again about the lion? "Seeking someone to devour, resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world." That's not new to the individual believer, you guys. "And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen." That was just how you could hear Peter's exaltation of God as he works up to that, realizing that all believers are struggling. It was nothing particular about one individual. We are all have these lions coming at us. There's always distractions. There's always hindrances. There's always opposition that we see. One other thing Bunyan would possibly be illustrating is the ever-present hindrances which exist and keep us from coming to the place or the palace we need to be. This palace beautiful, the local church. We're all familiar with things that could deter us from coming to a gathering of believers. Oftentimes, it's small things that become a big hindrance to us. And small things becoming big hindrances become habits. And we tend to bring up those, and we create these habits and they turn into excuses. And so I think about this. There's all kind of things that can discourage us from gathering together. We can find all kind of reasons not to meet. The trouble is, you guys, with that is we're losing sight of whose we are as a child of God. And I think we're letting the hindrances win. Too many times we're letting the hindrances hinder us. I saw on Facebook the other day, somebody posted and I shared it, just, you know, let church be the reason that you don't do nothing else, that you don't plan or schedule some other event. Let church be that thing that says, well, I'm doing church, that's priority. The people of God are a priority. You know, I've used it. I've heard it recently, and I've used it oftentimes. And it's the idea of ministry of presence. You guys, we don't know what it means to some people when we're gathered together as the people of God. It's encouraging to see faces. Even Grace's little face back there. That encouraged me to see you. We don't know what we're doing to help other people by being here. You think, well, I don't have a whole lot to give. Your presence is a ministry in itself, and we need to keep that in mind. If if the people of our church are important to us, then our presence could minister to them. Opposition is everywhere. We need to be on guard. And I like the fact that the two lions, it says they were chained. And they roared, and Christian heard the roaring, but they did not harm him. They were limited. And we need to remember that there are limitations to the opposition that comes against the people of God. Secondly, I want us to think about the palace, which is beautiful. What are the benefits of the local church? As Derek Thomas says, John Bunyan describes the spiritual riches of the church with this section. I agree. Listen to what the porter says. The lions were chained, but he saw not the chains, speaking of Christian. Then he was afraid and thought also himself to go back after them, for he thought nothing but death was before him. But the porter at the lodge, whose name is Watchful, perceiving that Christian made a halt, as if he would go back, cried unto him, saying, "Is thy strength so small? Fear not the lions, for they are chained and are placed there for a trial of faith where it is, and for discovery of those that have done. Keep in the midst of the path, and no hurt shall come unto thee." The porter, who is called the watchman, or watchful, is looking after down the road and guiding him and encouraging him along the way. And you guys, that does happen from the pulpit, but I want you to know too that that happens across the pews, that we encourage one another and help one another pay attention. Don't think that the only person with a ministry is the person up here preaching. Every child of God, every member of New Testament, every member of every church has some sort of ministry. That ministry is to be a blessing and encouragement to people. Now, this watchful was telling Christian, don't worry about those lions. They can't harm you. They're chained. I know this. They are put there to test people to see who has faith. That's what it boils down to. But see, it was on the path to this palace beautiful. The porter's question, and I think Christian's honesty stands out. In all of his responses, his honesty stands out. Listen, says the porter, but how does it happen that you come so late? The sun is set. Christian responds, I had been here sooner, but that wretched man that I am. See, he knows he's a believer. He recognizes his sinfulness. He recognizes his failure. He doesn't try to cover up or lie or hide his failures. He's honest. He says, that wretched man that I am, I slept in the arbor that stands on the hillside. Nay, I had, notwithstanding that, been here much sooner, but that in my sleep I lost my evidence. That little scroll that he had, his evidence. And came without it to the brow of the hill, and then feeling for it and not finding it, I was forced with sorrow and heart to go back to the place where I slept my sleep, where I found it, and now I am come. He didn't make excuses. He didn't lie to the porter, watchful. He simply said, the wretched man that I am, I messed up. I lost my evidence. I just think that is so interesting that John Bunyan wants to say that's the evidence. You remember what we talked about, what that possibly represented was the Word of God. Amen. That scroll represents the Word of God. Folks, so often we make the mistake when we leave out the Word of God from our lives. the value of God's Word to a believer daily, instructing us, reminding us, singing it, worshiping. It's all a part of what we are and who we are now. And when we leave it behind, we tend to fall behind, as Christian did. I think it interesting, the process of being welcomed into the family. It's not like just to open doors and everybody, and just come on in, Christian. Look what the porter says. Well, I will call out one of the virgins of this place, who will, if she likes your talk, bring you in to the rest of the family according to the rules of the house. So watchful, the porter rang a bell, at the sound of which came out of the door of the house a grave and beautiful damsel named Discretion, and asked why she was called. You know, I think I would really enjoy hearing Pastor Bunyan discuss this section of the book and what he intended. I don't know, it's just a thought to see what all's going on here. But the idea, you guys, of Discretion coming out and finding that, well, just the fact that her name is Discretion. Have you ever thought about that? Now, let me just get your mindset here for what I want you to think about. So we have a body of Christ. And when members come in, we want to use discretion with them. We don't want to just open the doors and say, everybody come in. You guys, that's why churches get in the state that they do. We start asking questions. That's really what went on here before he was ever invited in. There was a series of questions that was asked Christian to see if he was for real. And I think it's a good advice for any church to have some kind of membership process that people go through to ask some questions, to do some talking, to find out. You guys, I've seen it where churches, anybody that, boy, you have a hymn at the end of the sermon, you have a person walk the aisle, and that practically a church member right there. Amen. That's all they do. That's all it takes. You made a profession, that's good, you're sealed. That's a dangerous way to operate a church. Amen. But there's a lot of people operate that way. There's no discipleship. There's no questioning. It's, oh, you made a profession. We're going to popishly declare you a believer, regardless of what you do from this point on. A true church wouldn't do that. I don't think John Bunyan would have allowed that to take place in the church he pastored. Discretion is to be used with those who come. Listen to these questions. Discretion. Then she asked him whence he was and whether he was going. And he told her. She asked him also how he got into the way. And he told her. Then she asked him what he had seen and met with in the way. And he told her. And at last she asked his name. So he said, it is Christian. And I have so much the more a desire to lodge here tonight, because by what I perceive, this place was built by the Lord of the hill for the relief and the security of pilgrims. So she smiled, but the water stood in her eyes. She cried. That's tears. The water stood in her eyes, and after a little pause, she said, I will call forth two or three more of the family. So she ran to the door and called out Prudence, Piety, and Charity, who, after a little more discourse with him, had him into the family, and many of them meeting him at the threshold of the house said, come in, thou blessed of the Lord. This house was built by the Lord of the hill on purpose to entertain such pilgrims. And then he bowed his head and followed them into the house. So when he was come in and sat down, they gave him something to drink and consented together that until supper was ready, some of them should have some particular discourse with Christian for the best improvement of time, and they appointed piety, prudence, and charity to discuss with him, and thus they begin. Do you see? It's like a membership process. It really is. It's like we want to know who you are. We want to understand who you are and where you're coming from. That's the way church ought to be. We learn a lot. But folks, until you understand the value of the people of God, you're not going to get that. The church is just not a country club where good old boys get together. That's not what the church is about, but that's the way oftentimes it's treated. There's more to it. There's discipleship. I can't help but think that this is discipleship. And they were grading his answers. Do you realize they were grading his answer, his responses to those questions? It meant something. As with everyone who comes into the house of God, we question, we talk, we communicate with them. We find out who they are. We ask questions, where did you come from? Where are you going? What's your plans? That's the kind of discipleship we need when visitors come. I'm not going to have time to go through all the questions I wanted to with each one. From page 49 to page 55 is the question and answers where prudence and piety and charity are asking questions. And you guys, I want you to know this. When you hear the word discretion, we've talked about discretion being discreet, asking questions. Prudence is a word that means cautious. Cautious in practical matters. The use of wisdom is someone who is being prudent. Piety, that word oftentimes has a bad connotation about it, thinking that you're being pious. That word simply means to be reverent of God and worshipful. Okay? And then, of course, charity. Everybody knows the meaning of charity is simply love. These were the three that had their conversation with Christian. And piety was asking some questions in regard to, well, let me read one. But how did it happen that you came out of your country this way? Now, you not understand what he's asking? This is a spiritual allegory, right? What is piety asking? Asking, how did you come to know the Lord? How did you leave the city of destruction? The response that Christian has was something that piety understood, accepted. It was as God would have it. That's how he responded. Well, how I came out, piety, it was the way God would have it. For when I was under the fears of destruction, I did not know whether to go, but by chance there came a man. Speaking of evangelists. Amen. Somebody came and told me. But it was the way God would have it. Prudence. Let's look at prudence. Then prudence thought good to ask him a few questions and desired his answers to them. Prudence says, did you not think sometimes of the country from whence you came? Now you guys, think about this. Christian says, yeah, but with much shame and distraction, detestation. Truly, if I had been mindful of that country from whence I came out, I might have had opportunity to have returned. But now I desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Yeah. You know what? She's asking him basically about his life. What was, did you like your life? He said, yeah, I guess I kind of did, but I was ashamed of it. And he said, I'm looking for a better country now. Amen. Charity. You can't help but smile thinking about charity's questions. Charity's asked about his evangelism to his family and to his city, to that city of destruction. But mainly she asked questions concerning his family. How did you deal with that? Let me read. Let me find one for Charity. Why there I hope, oh, I'm sorry. This is Prudence again. I did not put any of Charity's questions down here. I'm sorry. You guys, if this palace beautiful is alluding to the local church, do you think John Bunyan thought that the church was a place for shallow relationships and no accountability? It doesn't sound like that's what he was trying to portray here. With Prudence and Charity and Piety, these question and answer episodes were hard questions related to trying to get into the heart and mind of who Christian was. True edification happens with effort, with real intent, with purpose, and yes, sometimes even friction. Relationships among even believers can be hard sometimes, but that is the place where we grow. That is the place where we grow. I want to close. Do me a favor and turn to Hebrews chapter 12. I'm out of time now already. I think Jaden is fooling with me back there because I can't believe 30 minutes have passed. Hebrews chapter 12. I want us to think on this. Again, this is one of my favorite verses to meditate on. When the reality hit me about what Hebrews 12 verse 18, there forwarding, is saying, it's about a kingdom that our God is building. And He's using us in it. As we read earlier in Peter and Ephesians. Look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 18. For you have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that no further messages be spoken to them. That's an Old Testament episode that was taking place. For they could not endure the order that was given. If even a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. He says, indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I trembled with fear. But he says, you have come to Mount Zion. Remember, that's Pilgrim's Mountain he's looking for. You have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gatherings, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. This is the blood of life, the blood of Christ. You guys, that's what we've come to. If we have a low view of what church is, we're not going to have any desire to be a part of it, to participate, to encourage, to edify others. We're going to treat it just like a club. And I can haphazardly participate. It doesn't really matter. It's not going to make no eternal difference for me. That's a dangerous attitude for us to have about the house of God. I don't think John Bunyan thought little of the local gathering of the people of God. I think he respected it, he admired it, and I think he admonished in this how a church should carry itself. But again, I always want to go back. If you have a low view of the church, you're going to have a low view of participating in it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you for this day and just the blessings of it. But Father, as we've gone through some of these thoughts from Pilgrim's Progress, from your word regarding the people of God and who we are, the church that you have built, your city, your mountain, the house that you're building. Father, may we have desire to be involved. May we really truly care about what you're doing with the people of God. As we struggle along, as we laugh together, we cry together, may we honor you. May we bring you glory, as Ephesians 3 says. Unto you be glory. We thank you and we praise you. Bless the needs that we have prayed for, needs of the week to come. Pray for Sunday, our services, the gathering that we have then. May your will be done. We ask all this, forgive us in Christ's name.